Gunnery Sergeant Jack Coughlin is back on the show this afternoon. He was on with me June 26th of 2005 was when he joined me in the studio, and we talked about his book, Shooter, which was his autobiography. Interesting stories about his life in a job that you and I have a little bit of a problem relating to, I think. That's why I love talking to people like Jack, because first-person stories who have experiences that we wonder about but haven't experienced ourselves are the most fascinating to me. Jack was the top-ranked Marine sniper, and now he has a new book out, which is a novel. It is called Killzone, and he calls it a sniper novel. Jack, welcome back to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you again. By the way, our discussion last time you were on became one of the most requested podcasts on our website, and I've gotten, even since then, people emailing me who find it on the website who say, please have this guy back on. So I'm glad we could do that today.
Oh, I'm flattered. Thank you.
And congratulations on the success of that book, and I'm sure this one will do well for you as well. Tell my audience what the plot of the novel is.
Well, basically, obviously, you know, they say you write what you know. So the character's based around a Marine sniper who is sent to rescue a general who's been kidnapped by Islamo fundamentalists who are also aided by defense contractors who are trying to privatize the military.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting. It's got the political snap to it, and it's got the first-hand combat scenes, too.
By the way, speaking of the first-hand combat scenes, you get pretty explicit in here when you talk about what happens to the people who are shot by Swanson, who's the hero of your piece, Kyle Swanson. Could you actually see what was happening to your victims when you could shoot them? Could you see that through your scope?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, it depends on the yardage. You can see the body go down and everything, but the closer you are, the more graphic it is through the scope. I mean, you can actually see, in some instances, the look in their eye.
And how much time would you spend after the shot actually looking to see what happened?
Well, the only thing I'm really looking for is to make sure the target is eliminated. You know, we're not looking for graphic scenes.
Right.
But, you know, 3 to 5 seconds will tell you whether the target's down or not.
There's an interesting story right at the beginning of the book. After Kyle Swanson does kill someone, he has a spotter, a guy who you call Eric Martinez, and he runs down to the corpses to get DNA samples from the corpses. Is that something that happens in real battle?
Well, if it's a high-value target, yes, we always take DNA sources from HVTs because we want to confirm that that's who they are.
Uh-huh.
So we can start crossing them off the board.
And, you know, you don't have to go back for them. And does every sniper go out with a spotter?
Yes, every sniper goes out with a spotter.
So it's a two-man team?
At least. Sometimes it's a four-man team. You have two snipers and two spotters in the same position.
Now, you mentioned as you were describing the plot of this that there are private military forces, mercenaries, let's call them, who were involved. And, of course, we've got tens of thousands of them involved in Iraq and somewhat in Afghanistan as well. What do you think of these Blackwater and other guys?
Well, I like to differentiate them. There's the contractors that are out there, you know, helping rebuild the oil fields, helping rebuild the transportation systems and, you know, doing convoys and things of that nature. I mean, they're providing a service that I think is needed. The combat forces there that are running security patrols and things of that nature, I think you hit it on the nose. To me personally, they're mercenaries. They're not there for their country. They're there for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are ex-military.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get out of the military, why? Because you want to make more money over there.
And do you think that some of these guys, or the fact that we're using some of these guys, is hurting our active duty military?
Well, it's not hurting them per se. I mean, we're not in any danger because of them. What it does is it puts less of a strain on the military, but I think that's because we have a little bit too small of a military. And the civilians over there don't follow the same rules as we do, as it's shown on the newspapers.
Yeah.
And on TV and on radio. So it kind of gives us a little black eye, too.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a mess to clean up. It's, you know, it's hard to go out to a neighborhood and say, I know they're American, but they weren't military.
With your career record, has anyone approached you and said, please, come out with us. We need somebody of your skills.
Oh, yeah. I've had offers from defense contractors and also from to endorse weapons. But, you know, that's not my – I don't do that. I got out of the military because I wanted to take care of my children. If I was still interested in going over and, you know, serving in a combat zone, I'd do it with the uniform on.
Talking with Jack Coughlin, the former gunnery sergeant of the United States Marine Corps, who's back with a new book now, a sniper novel that he calls Kill Zone. You wrote this with a guy named Don Davis, who's got a more than a dozen books under his belt, but was also a war correspondent, right?
Yeah, Don worked the Vietnam War, actually.
And when you were in the field, what was your thought about guys like Don? I know you were not in Vietnam and he was not in Iraq, but you must have run into a whole bunch of reporters on that drive to Baghdad.
Yes, we had a bunch. We had some that were embedded with us and some that we adopted because they were by themselves, which they weren't supposed to be, and they realized after the first day that when the reporter got killed that they better join up with somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not against it, as long as they report the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have nothing to hide as a military. If a mistake's made, a mistake's made. You know, war isn't clean. But if they start to use it as propaganda, that's a different story.
Did you have a problem with any of them while you were there, while you were serving?
No, I didn't. I actually became friendly with a bunch of them. And one of them actually approached me to write a book, which gave me the idea to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in essence, I had no problem with them, and I believe in the concept. But I think, you know, as long as you don't use it for a political reason.
Let me ask you about something else that was in the book that I was not aware of. And I don't want to give away too much of the plot here, but there's a section of the book where you talk about snipers and tattoos. You know the part I'm talking about, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. True that you don't want to have any identifying marks if you're in your job?
Exactly, you don't. And unfortunately, nowadays, it's you know, it's hard to find somebody without a tattoo at that young age. I remember I'm dating myself. I'm going back 24 years when I started this game, 23 years ago.
But even in those days, if you were a Marine, didn't you have to have a tattoo on your forearm? I thought that was actually part of the induction.
No. I'm tattoo free, and I know a lot of people that are. But it's not just necessarily just tattoos. It's any identifying marks. You know, you don't want somebody that can build a dossier on you and then find out exactly who you are. Because if for some reason you ever are captured, you definitely don't want them knowing who you are.
Interesting. Now, when you're writing a book like this with a military background like yours, did you work the whole plot out ahead of time, or did you just kind of say, here's my idea, let's see where it goes?
No, we worked the plot out. Kind of 50-50 on that, though. You know, I got a good idea of what I wanted to do, and as you start writing, you know, your story changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because your characters mature, your plot matures, so you get more in-depth, and it goes places where you didn't actually see it going at the beginning. This Killzone went so quick and easy for me, I just finished the follow-up to it.
Really?
Yesterday, yeah. I just finished the epilogue on Sunday.
It's another Kyle Swanson book?
Well, we don't know if it's Kyle because we don't know if he's still alive.
Oh, right. It's another sniper novel?
Right, it is. And, you know, it's also, you know, it's a follow-up to the book, so some of the characters will be from Killzone.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know who because, you know, we don't know who survives Killzone.
Right, right. And have you sold this as a movie yet?
No, not yet. No, it just came out. So we came out on the 13th of November, and advanced copies we didn't get until, I think, in October. So it really hasn't had too much time to pursue that. But we do have a film agent that is working on it.
What kind of reaction did you get to Shooter?
Really good. I'd say 95% of the reaction was great, and then 5% didn't like it for one reason or another.
Well, like what? Why wouldn't somebody have liked that book? Because my attitude is, if you're not going to like this kind of book, why are you even reading it?
Well, some of them judged the writing itself, the actual writing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were like, I shouldn't have been writing about that and telling everybody about it because it seemed like I was trying to profitize off of what I did, which obviously was not the case. And when we talked, I told you I wanted to educate people on the differences between, you know, everybody's got this idea of a sniper as, you know, some evil person or some dark, shadowy person. Now, you know, we're just like everybody else.
Right, right. Did people think you were giving away secrets?
I had people who don't know what they're talking about said that. Yeah, you know, like, you're giving away information. I don't give away techniques or procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the military started before it came out, because I was still on active duty when I wrote it.
Right. Do you mind if we include some phone calls here, Jack?
No, go ahead.
All right, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. This is Gunnery Sergeant Jack Coughlin, USMC retired, whose new book is called Killzone. It's a sniper novel that he wrote with Donald Davis. Jack was there serving with the Marines during the drive to Baghdad after nearly a quarter century of service in the United States Marines. And after you wrote the book, did you ever pick up a gun again, Jack?
No, I didn't. I haven't actually picked up a weapon since I left Iraq.
Why?
Well, I didn't shoot for fun. Obviously, that was my profession. So I don't take any pleasure of, you know, shooting. To me, that was muscle memory, and I had to do it a certain way. So it was never like a pleasurable thing for me. It was work.
So that's interesting to me. You always looked at it that way. There was no time where you thought to yourself, you know, this weekend I'm going to go out and get a deer.
No, no. I mean, I'm not against hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against hunting, and I can see where people like it, especially when they eat the animals that they hunt, and just the sheer athleticism of trying to do it, the hand-eye coordination. But, you know, when you've done what I've done, a deer is really not much of a challenge. Maybe if we arm the deers and they can shoot back.
Yeah, that would make it a little more difficult, yeah. Let me go to the phones here. 314-436-7900, toll-free, 800-925-1120. Charlie, say hi to Sergeant Jack Coughlin.
Sergeant, Semper Fi, an old Marine here.
Hey, Semper Fi, Devil Dog.
Hey, what kind of a rifle did you use?
Well, we have two types, a 50 cal Barrett light sniper rifle, and then the M40 series. I stayed with the A1 because I was kind of old school. We have the A3s out, which is just an upgraded version.
Ah, excellent. I'm an old M1 Marine.
Yeah, we've come a long way from that. Ours is a custom-built rifle, 30-06, and the 7.62 military, and it's accurate up to 1,000 yards, and further than that with ballistical come-ups.
Charlie, I'm glad you called. And one of the fascinating things you and I talked about a couple of years ago, Jack, was how you not only have to be a guy who's good with your trigger finger, but you actually had to know some of the science of firing a bullet that far, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Terminal ballistics and mathematics is a big deal. I mean, the wind and barometric pressure will change the deflection of a round, so you got to have all that in before you pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's not just hand the guy a gun and say, see that thing way off in the distance? Go get it. It's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's never that easy.
Mike, you're on KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show with Gunnery Sergeant Jack Coughlin and his new book, Kill Zone. Hi.
Second rate right here, looking at a sniper novel with the rifle on the cover. I just started the book. I'm on page 130, and I can't put it down, and God bless you, sir.
Oh, thank you, and I hope you like it. I really had fun with it.
I'm waiting for book number two.
Well, it's finished. I just finished the epilogue yesterday, so you're going to have to wait probably about 8 months before we, you know, put it out. We don't put them out that quickly between each other.
Got
to
sell this one a little bit first.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck. Good luck with your publications.
I appreciate it, sir.
Mike, thanks for calling. Here's John on KMOX. Say hi to the Sarge.
Good afternoon, Sergeant.
Hey,
Sergeant, what was your longest confirmed kill?
Well, we don't call them confirmed kills anymore. I mean, that's kind of an oxymoron from Vietnam. But the longest kill I had was 1222, give or take a yard.
1242. That's one hell of a shot. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And by the way, if you want to really find out what Jack's life was like, in addition to picking up the novel Kill Zone, go back and get a copy of Shooter, which is his autobiography, in which he talks about what the job was like and some of those kills and some of the missions that he was out there on. It's remarkable. Jim, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Hi. Well, thanks, Jack. I really enjoyed your first novel, and I just want to tell you thank you for your service to the country, and I know that you performed in a task that it takes very few who can qualify for. But I also would like to mention that you're not appreciated by many, and there was a great article about the connotation about a sniper and even the rest of the troops at hand about your reputation and so on and so forth. But I would also like to say the person with whom you're talking to on KMOX is anything but sympathetic with your cause.
What are you talking about, Jim? Oh, you see, Jim's a chicken right there. I did not hang up on Jim.
No, I know. I could tell from my end who hung up on who.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, I appreciate your fine comments, but I actually spent some time with the host, and I found him to be a very admirable person.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Jim apparently hears selectively what he wants to hear. Lee, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I want to say hello to the top.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, my question is... there was a film not too long back, well, a little while back. It was called Enemy Before the Gates.
At the Gates.
Enemy at the Gates, he said.
Yeah. Paul, are you there?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Lee, go on with your point, Lee.
It was a duel between a Russian sniper and a German sniper. Not a bad film. And do you know that that Russian sniper, that rifle he used, is in the Soviet Museum right now?
Yes, I'm familiar with the movie. I'm familiar with the actual engagement. I saw the movie. I thought it was pretty realistic. Actually, when people ask me what do I think is the most realistic sniper movie out there, I say that.
I heard one time down the pike that the 306 Springfield was used as a sniper rifle at one time.
Yeah, it was. Almost every service rifle that we've had in the existence of our military has been used as a sniper rifle.
Jack, a guy named Mike just emailed me, and he wants to know if you ever looked through the scope and saw another guy looking through his scope right at you.
No, and I'm glad that didn't happen. That's obviously, you know, whoever gets off the shot quicker.
Yeah.
That has happened for real in real life. A Marine sniper, the greatest of all, Gunnery Sergeant Carlos Hathcock in Vietnam, did that to a master North Vietnamese sniper. He shot him straight through the scope.
Wow.
And that's not rumor. That's for sure real.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you on. I wish you a lot of luck with the book, and I guess I'll be talking to you in about 8 months when the next book comes out, right?
Sure thing, buddy.
Are you going to be coming through St. Louis? Are you doing any book signings in our area?
Yeah, because of the holidays, I got lucky because I got kids that we're going to push back until after to do the book signings and stuff. Now we're just doing the media tour.
All right. Well, you know, if you do come by here, you're always welcome on this show.
Okay, well, that's great. I'll let you know.
The book is called Killzone, a sniper novel by Gunnery Sergeant Jack Coughlin of the USMC, retired, now spending time with his family, and a full-time author. Jack Coughlin here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.